Every Wednesday at this time, we check in with another medical professional brought to you by Allegheny Health Network, Health for All, 412 Doctors, always a great resource. And today, Dr. Thomas Kreebeck is with us. Doc, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good. And September is Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month. Why is it referred to by many as the whispering cancer?
It's referred to as the whispering cancer because there's not a lot of strong symptoms. You know, a lot of patients that will develop ovarian cancer, unfortunately, won't have anything that they would say, you know, predispose them to develop this cancer. There's not a lot of strong family history or genetic mutation, and they don't really have a lot of symptoms. They'll come in and they'll see three or four doctors and have very vague symptoms such as, you know, an upset stomach, at times maybe, you know, feel like they're not eating as much. And then unfortunately, when you start to develop symptoms such as feeling swollen in the abdomen, you know, you feel like your undergarments aren't fitting as well, that your abdomen's swelling, that the cancer now is in an advanced stage. And really, with ovarian cancer and with any kind of cancer, you want to find it at an early stage because that gives us the best opportunity to treat and cure patients.
You know, Doc, what you're saying is so profound, and in my own life I've seen this happen. And I've also seen it with pancreatic cancer folks. These are cancers that, I guess it's fear and a little bit of anger, because you end up meeting women in my own life, quite frankly, that had both and one or the other. And there's not a whole lot we can do, can we, sir?
You know, not yet. Yeah. There are a lot of good opportunities. You know, we're trying to look at, AI to help predict who may develop cancer. We're looking at different biomarkers or different expression of proteins within a patient's blood to help detect pancreatic cancer as well as ovarian cancer. These are rare cancers, which make it very difficult. And when something's rare, there's less people developing it. So it's very hard to develop the right clinical trials to help determine if something's beneficial or not. But, you know, I've been doing this for about 25 years, and I trained at the NIH. And when I graduated there in 2002, I thought for sure within the next 5 to 10 years, we would have some type of blood test that would help detect early stage ovarian cancer and possibly pancreas cancer. And unfortunately, it just not has occurred yet. So, you know, paying attention to those subtle symptoms and coming in for your gynecologic exam is probably the best that we can do at this point.
Hey, Larry, he just said something profound, the AI aspect of this. We're hearing this almost daily with AI. How would that come into play, Doc?
Well, I think with AI, what we'd be able to do is we'd be able to look at certain, you know, symptoms, certain results of tests, and certain blood tests, and then be able to use algorithms to help detect who's at a high risk and who's not. The strongest predictor right now for ovarian cancer development is patients who have a genetic alteration that can be in mom and dad's bloodstream and passed down to children. And again, men can harbor genetic alterations that can get passed on to their daughters that predispose them to development of ovarian cancer. You guys did discuss some of the ovarian cancer statistics, and we're under 20,000 cancers per year in the United States with ovarian cancer. A few years ago, it was as high as 22,000. So through utilization of genetic testing, utilization of birth control pills are actually what we would consider to be preventive. They suppress ovulation, and we do think it helps prevent ovarian cancer. So there are a few things that we can do, and I do think AI is going to be able to look at family history, to look at genetic predisposition, to look at certain biomarkers within a patient's either blood or urine or saliva or something like that, and to be able to help stratify patients' risk factors to potentially help, you know, time surgery to help remove ovaries and fallopian tubes so we can prevent cancer. Because really that's the goal is prevention or early detection.
And a lot of wonderful work being done here in Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Thomas Kreebeck, we appreciate your expertise, who is the director of the Ovarian Cancer Center of Excellence at Allegheny Health Network. Thanks, Doc.
You guys have a great week. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you. Brought to you by Allegheny Health Network, 412 Doctors, a great resource number for you to have.